This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Joker here. And boy, did you get a wrong number. If you're looking for the Geeks Out crew, they're a little tied up at the moment.
Hiya, Puddy.
Be quiet, Harley. If you want to see them again, stay tuned to Joy 94.9.
I do want to emphasize for folks out there that Tamsin and I are safe from the Joker's wild grip. Maybe that's where Clayton is tonight. Maybe Clayton's been taken hostage by the Joker.
Clayton and the Joker. That could be a new crossover comic.
That could be a crossover. Now, that is that little sting right there vaguely relates, actually it strongly relates, to what we're going to be talking right now, the new animated series from DC Universe, Harley Quinn, you know, based off of Paul Dini's character, created for Batman, the animated series in the 1990s, who initially was the Joker's girlfriend, but has become so widely popular since. The synopsis of her new show, following the devastating and ball-crunching breakup with the Joker, Harley Quinn sets out to make her own name as a supervillain and earn a seat amongst the Legion of Doom. Series stars Kaley Cuoco, Lake Bell, Alan Tudyk, and so much more. Diedrich Bader as Batman, J.B. Smoove, Tony Hale. Jason Alexander plays a guy by the name of Cyborgman, like a cyborg landlord, which is just great. I'm actually going to play a tiny clip right now. It's not actually of Harley Quinn, but it's from the series, and it's Batman interacting with Robin, his son Damian. So take a quick listen to this.
I made your favorite.
You didn't make that. Alfred made that.
I made him make it. Are you mad because I had to save you from Joker?
No, I'm livid because everyone in Teen Titans is getting a nemesis except me.
I'm going to say something embarrassing here. I didn't have a nemesis until my late 20s.
Don't patronize me, Father. It's unbecoming.
It's true. I wasn't ready for one. You want your first nemesis to be special. Someone who you could see being your nemesis for the rest of your life.
I suppose you're right, Father. When can I start having sex?
I think I hear the bat signal.
I think I can hear the bat signal.
If that's not one of the best birds and bees, almost talk.
I kind of love it all. That's the first time I've ever seen a Robin on screen that actually has a proper little kid's voice. Usually he's like a, you know, some sort of teen, you know, who's a little bit breaking like this. But, you know, this Robin, Damian Wayne, I believe he's still, like, you know, technically a preteen. So what he's doing on the Teen Titans, I have no idea. Oh, that boy.
13 and voice hasn't broken.
I still...
Potential.
I'm not sure how young Damian Wayne is. I need to check my continuity. But talking about the Harley Quinn animated series, how do I put this? This is definitely not a show for, you know, anyone who takes the continuity seriously. It's for folks who realize that DC Comics continuity actually is kind of sometimes a bit of a joke, or a lot of a joke, that it's, you know, entirely inconsistent. This is not a Gotham City which is dark and brooding. It's entirely set through Harley Quinn's own madcap lens, where suspension of disbelief is common and just crazy shiz happens everywhere, every day. So if you can stomach that and realize that this is not a Batman story at its heart, then you might end up having a good time with it. Harley is, you know, wild and energetic, and Kaley Cuoco brings that energy really, really well. She did once in the Batman Harley Quinn animated film, which was perhaps less suited to her talents, but she definitely is more suited to this particular series, especially when she's balanced with Lake Bell's deadpan portrayal of poison ivy. Now, what do you think of when you think of poison ivy? What's your mental image?
She's snide and just cool, calm, collected, kind of doesn't put up with anything.
But she's also very seductive as well.
Yes.
There's less of that here. You know, she's just very much someone who's just sort of like texting and like, yeah, whatever, while everyone's...
Ooh.
She's also the sort of person who's like, I'm not a supervillain. I'm an eco-terrorist. Keep all your capes and stuff out of my business. And she's just got this great deadpan delivery, which is just so well balanced to Harley. And you can tell they have best friend affection for each other. Whether or not this will lead to the kind of romance that they have teased before in the comics, I can't say at this point. We're currently 8 episodes in, and they've only really kind of hinted at that sort of thing once. But then Harley is still going through the motions of trying to get over the Joker and trying to become her own person, not just, you know, for herself, but also sometimes in spite of the Joker as well.
So, but how did I'm really intrigued on this Poison Ivy Harley Quinn. Give me an example of their banter.
That's because I did an impression for you before.
Please.
All right, I'm gonna do the impression now, and censor my language a little bit. She's like, okay, you're doing well. You didn't need help. I'm gonna go and order some Thai food. Text me what you want. No, I know what I want. Give me the Thai green potato salad. No. See, here's the thing. I'm going to forget, and then I'll get something you won't like, and then you'll get mad at me later. So, you know, just freaking text me, okay? That's the sort of balance that they've got going on. Just really snipey best friends.
They're very cute.
And I really want them to be a couple. They would be so cute as a couple. But again, one of the really strong themes that this series explores as well is how much of your identity can really be shaped by a bad ex. And I think a lot of us have been there as well, where, you know, we've been with someone who wasn't good for us, and once we're out of it, we don't know who we are without them. And this is especially true for Harley, who, you know, she got her start as the Joker's sidekick.
Well, Harley was created by the Joker, technically, yes.
In a sense. Yeah, like, Harley Quinn persona was one that, you know, she, you know, flourished with the Joker after she was an Arkham Asylum doctor. There's another thing as well. People often think of Harley as a ditz, but she is actually a trained medical psychiatrist and has a doctorate and everything.
I love it.
She is a doctor. That's a good thing to always remind folks of as well. But, you know, one of the things they really explore, which I really love about this series, is that she even goes over her own sense of her own origin story and about how her origin isn't so much what the Joker made her, but who she became when she left him.
Oh, no.
And that's a very powerful message that I'm really loving with this character. We're seeing that same thing happen as well, because we've got the movie Birds of Prey and I'm going to see if I can get the title right, The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Similar theme there. We've seen in the trailer, she said, the Joker and I broke up, and now she's, causing havoc for her very own.
And she's building her own malicious
group. I really like this branding, because there are the people who romanticize the Joker and Harley when it was actually a really abusive relationship as well. And we even saw that, you know, in films such as Suicide Squad.
Oh, that was an awful relationship. He was really rude to her and just wanting to sell her off to the highest bidder almost in one point.
And that's always been how the Joker has treated Harley. And I'm really glad that, DC are acknowledging that and using that in the mainstream narrative of her, and, you know, really, I mean, they're separating her without, you know, necessarily dividing them.
And she's coming into her own stride and her own element, and that, you know, that's what we all want to do, and be perceived as our own person after you've been, you know, like Tweedledum Tweedledee, Harlequin and the Joker is always said together in the same sentence. Now Harley Quinn is how we see it and how she's portrayed.
I mean, I really like these themes. And, you know, because I'm also someone who's just really over the Joker. as a villain as well. Although there is a push for him because I think the Joker's turning 80 recently.
Oh.
That's just my understanding. I could be a little bit wrong on that one. You're going to look that one up for me.
I'm so going to fact check. Hang on.
Yeah, oh, I do love being fact-checked, but I just want to say I really do love that Harley Quinn is coming to her, and we're seeing this in the animated series. We're seeing this in the new film coming out. Although, I don't know whether the new film is connected to Suicide Squad or not, but let's not talk about the film.
Birds of Prey?
Yes, Birds of Prey.
I think it is, in fact, in the fact that it is the same character who played Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad. It's Margot Robbie,
but I'm not sure if it's like Margot Robbie in a new remake. Or Margot Robbie does play a great Harley Quinn as well.
And yes, you are right. Joker first debuted on April the 25th, 1940.
There we go. And I know people are going to want to celebrate his 80th birthday. And I got to tell you, he doesn't look a day over 40.
Oh, 45.
I mean, I guess depending on who's drawing him at the time.
That is true. That is true.
Now, back to Harley Quinn, the animated series. There's a lot of heavy language in this series. They drop a lot of F-bombs.
Ooh,
which
how
is great.
Rude.
Yeah. there's a lot of really filthy innuendo in there as well. As well as gratuitous violence. Like, I think in the last episode I saw an entire family reunion was slaughtered by a villain called the Queen of Fables.
Ouch.
Because she's very much like, leave no witnesses and end the bloodline. That's the only way.
That's ruthless.
To avoid, you know, someone getting vengeance on you.
That's the whole Red Wedding out of Game of Thrones all over again.
Yeah, Harley was a bit taken aback by that, but, you know, it was still kind of hilarious, even though sometimes you're like, oh, isn't this a bit gratuitous? And again, I think gratuity is the point of it as well. I want to give Harley Quinn, I'm going to give it...
How many Harley Quinn hyenas?
See, I was going to say 7 big honkin' hammers out of 10.
We love the honkin' hammers. 7?
Yeah.
That's it. You enjoyed it.
I mean, I don't think it's the greatest thing ever made, but, you know, it still made me laugh a lot in just a stupid way. And, you know, and I find the characters endearing, and I'm just in love with Ivy and all of the little side characters and, you know, references they brought in as well. So, unfortunately, it's not available in Australia currently, but hopefully when they wrap up the season, it'll be coming to Netflix or something.
I have an
advantage of being able to stream DC Universe through other means, although I have paid for the content.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't worry about that, anyone who's listening.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.